Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Cutler Hour. I am your host, appropriately enough, Mike Cutler. It is Friday. It is June the 24th, 2016. I had a look at my calendar. It's been a very long, busy week. Just returned from Washington, where I participated in FAIR's event, that is to say, Federation of American Immigration Reform event, Hold Their Feet to the Fire. There relates to the feet of our congressmen, our elected representatives, so-called. They had, I believe it was 46 radio stations broadcasting from the hotel that we stayed at in Washington, all over the country. And I was there for 3 days, was a guest on a whole bunch of those programs. Great opportunity to get my voice and the voice of so many other people heard. People like the Border Patrol Union representatives, family members of people who were killed by illegal aliens, my good friend Don Rosenberg. Good to see Don, but always heartbreaking to hear his story, hear the stories of other people who lost their family members. It breaks your heart. And so many of these are good, decent people. One gentleman who had been a naval aviator, flew fighter missions in the Middle East, loses a child to someone who shouldn't be here. I mean, these stories rip you apart. There were people speaking about how they lost jobs to people from India and other countries. Walt Disney, goodness, I have to tell you, I will never, ever go to Disney World. If they think I'm going to be there, it's Fantasy Island. We should be boycotting people like that. If you're willing to take loyal employees, and the stories are horrific, and then fire them, leave them without a job, leave them without the ability to support their families so you can make more money after they have worked loyally for you, in some cases for decades. Boy, talk about sticking a knife in somebody's back and twisting it. That's not the America that I grew up in as a kid. There have always been some unsavory characters, but it takes a special kind of cretin to do what we're seeing happen in corporate America today. And it takes a certain kind of animal to become the kind of politicians we've seen all too frequently, and not just in Washington, but elsewhere. Pardon me. So the idea that you can go on a radio program or programs around the country and get a clear message out there so that people come to understand the level of betrayal is truly a wonderful opportunity, and one that I could not pass up. But I am back. It's been a long day. I think I've probably had about 8 hours sleep in 3 days, so if I nod out in the middle, you'll understand if you hear snoring instead of my voice. But anyway, it's great to catch up with you. Hope you all had a good week. And those of you familiar with my program know that the reason I speak about immigration is because I was an immigration agent for 30 years. And then after 9/11, this has become my mission, if you will, to wake Americans up, to confront our leaders, to make them accountable, so that for once and for all, our government will look out for America and Americans, not the corporate SOBs and the other cretins that bribe them with campaign contributions. Not all of them. Some of these people fly as straight as an arrow, and they have a strong moral compass. But all too many of these characters in elected office forget who they were elected to represent. We, the people, need to remind them. And this is not about left or right. It's about the repugnant cans, and it is about the Democrats. And both sides of the aisle, in my judgment, have enough membership that you could consider their parties to be corrupt organizations, maybe racketeering organizations. Pardon me. Forgive the frog in my throat. I'm amazed I still have vocal cords. Those of you, again, familiar with me know that I have a couple of websites that I really want you to go visit. My own personal website is Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. I've also been for many years and proud of it a senior fellow. I do writing for a great group known as Californians for Population Stabilization. Their website is capsweb.org, C-A-P-S, long name, but the initials are simple, capsweb.org, and every single day they put new material up, clips to videos, commentaries by a bunch of writers. I'm just one of many, and within the next couple days I'll have an article up that will parallel something I wrote for Front Page Magazine, another place where I write, frontpagemag.org, America the Vulnerable. And the subtitle, How Obama's Immigration Anarchy Facilitates the Entry and Embedding of Terrorists. And wait till you hear what that's about. Also, I write for The Social Contract. And they have a quarterly publication. And for the summer edition, I wrote an article. I kind of borrowed the concept from Donald Trump's Art of the Deal. My article, it's more than a commentary, is The Art of the Question. The questions that we must ask our politicians, especially where immigration's concerned. Too many people say to some guy running for office or somebody running for re-election, where are you on illegal immigration? And the guy says, we're going to build that wall, we're going to secure that border, and everybody goes nuts. If that's all we do, we're spinning our wheels. If that's all that we do, we're plugging one hole in many, out of many, that are on the bottom of our boat. And all too many politicians try to convince people that the solution to a hole in the bottom of the boat is to drill more holes, hopeful that the water will magically go out the new holes they've drilled in the bottom of the boat. That is how patently absurd it is, that by not asking the right questions, by not developing the information and the insight that you really need, all too many people are conned by that nonsense. It doesn't make sense, but people kind of follow things. You know, how many times do you hear these terrible stories? Some person is retired, they have their life savings, and someone comes along and says, congratulations, you've won the lottery, you're going to get $1 million, but before we give you the check, you have to give us $10,000 to pay the taxes. Anybody who can fog a mirror, who does not have a flatline EEG, knows that normally they give, if you win that kind of thing, you cash in the check and they take the money off the top, and that's fine. But they want the money up front. And there are people foolish enough to write the check, and then the people that they thought were going to give them the lottery ticket disappear into the night. That's the kind of nonsense going on with immigration. They insult hardworking Americans talking about the work Americans won't do, or the work that Americans are too stupid to do. They tell us we have a shortage of high-tech workers, even as outfits like Disney and California Power and HP and all these other companies fire tens of thousands of Americans who've worked for them for years, who have the degrees, who have the training, who have the expertise, and they fire them. And then they say, oh, we have a shortage. Yes, you fired thousands of people. And it's not that these folks that they fired were incompetent. Many of them had gotten awards for being terrific. And most of them, like at Walt Disney, are then told, we're going to give you a severance package, and it's pretty good. But the only way you're going to get it is if you train the guy who's taking your desk. And it's someone from another country. And when they come in, you're going to train them or you will not get your severance package. So if these people were incompetent, you certainly don't want them training their replacement. It's lie after lie. And if you look at what's happened, as that the proverbial saying goes about across the pond over in Great Britain, today was an historic day, and I am ecstatic. I am thrilled to death because the Brits voted to pull their rear ends out of the European Union, the EU. They've had it. They've had it with this massive influx of foreign workers. They've had it with this massive influx of refugees who cannot be vetted. They are worried about the crime. They are worried about their economy. They are worried about their children, and they are disgusted. And rightfully so. So they voted themselves out. Now, I've written about how the polls are ridiculous. Have you been following this? The stock market goes up and the stock market goes down. The stock market goes up and the stock market goes down. Why? Because one poll said they're going to stay. Next day, they're going to leave. Then they're going to stay. And then they're going to leave. And every time they said they're going to stay in the EU, the market went up. Sure. cheap labor for the bums. And every time they said we're getting out, boom, the market went down. Why? Because now they have to probably take care of Brits. You see, this global push is what is destroying the middle class, and not just in the United States, but around the world. There's some very greedy people. You know, I understand the guy who steals a container of milk in a grocery store. And I got to tell you, if I was a police officer and saw someone steal a loaf of bread in a container of milk, I would tell him to put the food on the counter and go back and get some more stuff that he needs to feed himself, maybe his kids, and I would pay for it. I would pay for it. Not because I'm a hero. There's no halo floating over my cutler's head. But if you're that desperate that you're stealing a container of milk, you're desperate. You need help. Someone's got to step in here. But the people that are doing the damage are people that fly around the world in airliners that make Air Force One look like a cattle car. They're not hungry. They're just hungry for power. They're sociopathic. That's who they are. And we have politicians who are no better. We have politicians who have no moral compass, politicians who don't know the truth. And I have to tell you, and I'm registered as a Democrat, but I look at Hillary and I look at the dealings that she's made with other countries, with China, with others, getting the campaign contributions, and you say, well, wait a minute. There's a conflict of interest. As a federal agent, I was not allowed to accept a cup of coffee for fear that I would be less than objective. Cops aren't supposed to take food from a restaurant that they don't pay for, because then when someone double parks, the cop is going to feel kind of funny to go and ticket somebody who's a customer of the restaurant that's feeding them. Literally, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Human nature. So they are told, do not take food. In fact, I worked very closely with the Israeli National Police. I remember one day having lunch, speaking about food, with one of their police generals who was here in the United States. He said, you know how we deal with this problem in Israel? I said, I don't know, but I know the Israelis are very shrewd. You're taught to put something over on an Israeli. What do you do? He said, we bring in world-class chefs, and we serve lunch in the precinct, in the building. So where are you going to go? Fast food or somebody who makes a really dynamite meal and the food is free. It doesn't get any better than that. Great food for free or go out there and buy a McDonald's. I mean, I have my occasional McDonald's, but I mean, there's no comparison. And it ended the problem. They provided an alternative and the police officers came into the precinct on their lunch break. They went into that building. They sat down. They had a wholesome meal and they went back out on patrol. The idea is when you start taking things from somebody, human nature says, now you feel indebted. Now there's a level of indebtedness. That person did for me, now I'm supposed to do for him. And if you don't think that politicians who get megabucks in the way of campaign contributions aren't then turning around and repaying the favor, you're crazy. You're naive. So we hear about that. We hear about all kinds of chicanery. But on the immigration issue alone, I have to tell you, when I listen to Hillary, I go nuts. She wants to legalize everybody in sight within the first, 45 days. That's enough for me because this dovetails with that article that I wrote, America the Vulnerable. If you start giving amnesty to millions of people, you have anarchy. These are people who violated the laws that were enacted to do two simple things. Protect national security and consequently public safety, human lives, American lives, immigrant lives as well, and the jobs of Americans. So when you have someone violating the law, we don't know who they are, we don't know how long they've been here, but what we wind up doing is rewarding people for doing something that's illegal, and by rewarding it, you encourage more people to come here and violate the law. You know, I just drove up from Washington. I was on the Jersey Turnpike, and they have two lanes on the turnpike. And there's other toll roads, two lanes. One says cash, the other says easy pass. Imagine a third lane that says free, no speed limit. That's what amnesty is. But wonderfully, yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled that Obama had overreached, that he had exceeded his authority, that he had no right to provide blanket amnesty for all these hundreds of thousands of people. And it was amazing to hear the President of the United States, who purports to be a constitutional professor, you know, I taught constitutional law, talk about how, well, it was only eight justices, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do because this isn't who we are. That isn't how it works. There's a court order. He's willing to defy court orders. He defies the law. For years he was saying, I'm not a king. I can't do anything without the Congress agreeing with me. And all of a sudden someone flipped the switch and he said, what the hell? And nobody slapped him down for it. And that's kind of how the illegal aliens are. He's operating like an illegal alien. You see, when illegal aliens come to the United States and politicians from both the repugnant can and the Democrat Party stand up and say, well, we can't deport them all. So now the only question is, do we give them citizenship or quote-unquote only employment authorization? Well, I'm going to give you all that you want. I'm going to give you a steak dinner and champagne. Now the only question is whether or not we give you dessert. This is crazy. We don't know who they are. There's no capacity to do interviews of millions of people or do any field investigations. This undermines common sense. It also undermines the findings of the 9/11 Commission. It undermines national security. And because you can't do an investigation, and because they're quote-unquote undocumented, there's no way of proving when they got here. So everybody will know what year they're supposed to say they got here. So the guy that comes here 3 weeks ago fills out the application, and let's say they tell him, you have to be here for 3 years, and he puts down some date in 2013. Who's going to know otherwise? He claims to have used five different false names with no penalty, by the way, of law being prosecuted. Never mind the fine. The fine is silly. It's a surcharge. It's a surcharge. No prosecution, no consequences. Identity theft is the fastest growing white-collar crime in America. Identity theft destroys people's lives and peace of mind, destroys their credit ratings, makes it impossible for them to buy that house or that car they needed, maybe get a student loan. They're being dragged through the mud by a criminal. And in fact, about 12 years ago, of all the TV networks, MSNBC did a whole piece, because I used to be on MSNBC all the time. And the piece was on how identity theft is mostly done by illegal aliens and the damage it does to national security. Try to find a program willing to talk about it. Fox will probably talk about it. Got to give credit where it's due. I can promise you that Newsmax will. I've been on with Dennis Michael Lynch many times. I've become something of a regular on Dennis's program, and I'm happy to do it. I also do a couple of other shows over there. But do you think CNN, do you think that MSNBC is going to do a story like that today? There is a global agenda, and it is remarkable to see what happened in England. And I want to see the EU absolutely fall like a deck of cards. I'd like to see them fall like a stack of dominoes. This nonsense about taking down borders and facilitating the travel of terrorists across international borders is lunacy, and I've written about it before. I'm going to write about it again. John Brennan, the head of the CIA, said that there are three ways that terrorists will seek to enter the West and the United States. By smugglers, meaning people that will sneak them across international borders, by being part of a refugee flow, and boy, do we have one hell of a refugee flow, and not just here, it's all over Europe, and by normal travel patterns, people coming in supposedly as students or tourists or whatever and disappear into the woodwork and go about their business as they prepare to kill people. And it was so remarkable because there was a hearing that was done, and I addressed this issue in my article for Front Page Magazine, and in it I quoted a Washington Times article. So here's what the Washington Times article had to say. At least 480,000 people overstayed their visas last year, adding to a backlog that's reached some 5 million total, members of Congress said. But immigration agents launched investigations into just 10,000 of them, or about 0.2%, and arrested fewer than 2,000, less than 0.04%, saying the others don't rise to the level of being priority targets. Not every bad guy has a track record. Many terrorists are selected as terrorists because they have clean backgrounds. You fingerprint them and nothing comes up. You run their real name and nothing comes up. That's how sleepers operate. They get into a country by hook or by crook, literally. And if you run their name, it comes up clean. And so you think, oh, he's a good guy. No problem here. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's keep moving. And then when the stars line up, when the conditions are right, when his telephone rings, when he gets that email, when there's that tap on the shoulder, or perhaps when he himself self-energizes and goes out and kills people, everyone says, how did this happen? We didn't know who he was. What does a bad guy look like? You know, in the movies, the villain is easy to spot. The lighting changes, the camera angle changes, the music changes. It's all, you know, it's all keyed up so that the audience knows what's going on. I can tell you, I've put away terrorists. I've locked up murderers. I've locked up drug dealers. And unless I change the music on my radio, there's no background music in the street. It's silly. You know, if you're not a bad guy, we're not going to arrest. Well, what does a bad guy look like? And then the article goes on and says, we utilize our prioritization scheme along with the resources that we have. And this was according to Craig Healy. Now, catch this guy's title. I'm really impressed now. I'm shaking in my boots. Craig Healy, Assistant Director for National Security Investigations at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said that he struggled to defend his, as he struggled to defend his administration's meager efforts. Struggled? This guy needs a nose job. This is an absurdity. But here's the sentence. I almost fell out of my chair. Put your seatbelt on, because this is, as they would say in the old days, a doozy. You ready? Here it goes. He, meaning Craig Healy, Assistant Director for National Security, this is the heavy hitter, our lives hang in the balance. He holds our lives in his hands. Drum roll, please. Says this. He blamed the shortage of funding and a tricky environment. Tricky. And I once had a supervisor who couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. He flunked the wiggle test. And when you ask him to do anything, oh, that's tricky. That's tricky. The word tricky twists my tail, okay? He blamed the shortage of funding. Shortage of funding? Sara Saldana, the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, his boss, just a few months ago testified before the Senate that she gave back $113 million that was supposed to be used to deport illegal aliens because she couldn't find any aliens worthy of deportation. Worthy of deportation. And she said, you know, we don't really have $11 million. We probably have $15 million by now. Hey, Sarah, how about $30 or $40 million by now? So you think maybe she could have turned around and said, hey, you know, maybe we need to hire some more agents. Maybe we need to get, you know, something. No, we don't need the money. We can't find anybody worthwhile. They don't meet our profile. See, their profiling is acceptable. Unbelievable. But it gets worse. He said this. Let me finish the sentence because I keep interrupting myself because I'm sitting here having a meltdown. When I look at these words, it just absolutely makes my head want to explode. He, again, this is Craig Healy, the Assistant Director for National Security, said, he blamed the shortage of funding and a tricky environment where authorities only have limited information. And then it takes them months to decide if someone really did overstay their visa and if they are deemed serious enough to make an effort to go after. Folks, I don't even know where to begin. It takes them months to figure out if someone overstayed. Months. We have computers. We've spent billions of dollars on U.S. visit, which doesn't work by design. This is incompetence by design, even though it was mandated by the 9/11 Commission a decade ago. It took us less time to go to the moon to track aliens. It took 44 months to win the Second World War. We can't figure out it because it's a tricky environment. You know how we did it in the old days, 1971? No computers. No computers. If someone came on a tourist visa, they get 6 months. If you say to someone, let me see your passport, we would staple that arrival departure document known as the I-94 in the passport. So if, let's say, today is June 24th and I'm on duty and I find some alien in the street, yes, that's the word we use, folks, alien. It's an adult word, but we can deal with it. We find some alien in a factory working at a machine or whatever. First of all, if he came on a tourist visa, doesn't matter when he came here. He's on a tourist visa, and he's working. He's under arrest. Why? Because a tourist isn't allowed to work. Why? Because in the old days, we were really concerned that Americans needed the job. So it didn't matter if the guy just got here 3 days ago. To that point, I remember one time, very funny story, we had information that a gas station that had been owned and operated by some guy from Greece was hiring lots of his compadres from Greece. Talk about Greece. I walk in, I said, hi, I'm with immigration. Some guy comes out from under a car, one of those little crawlers, you know, the thing that slides under a car and these little tiny wheels like roller skate wheels. He slides out from under the car covered with grease, head to foot, hair, face, hands, wearing coveralls. The guy's name, I believe, was Demetrius or whatever, but whatever his name was, according to a complaint we had, that was the name on his coveralls, covered with grease. You could have lubricated an airliner off the grease this guy had covering himself. Rolls out from under the car. I said, hi, I'm with immigration. He looks at me, wipes his hand on a rag, sticks his hand out. He says, my name is so-and-so, and he tried to tell me he was somebody else, by the way. And the first thing he said after that is, I don't work here. My partner and I almost fell over. He gets out from under a car. He's got a wrench in one hand, covered in grease. I tell him, hi, I'm immigration, and his answer is, I don't work here. I said, is this a hobby? And he had no explanation. I said, I know. You were looking for your contact lens. It rolled under the car. What in the world could you possibly say? We wound up arresting him, and of course he was working illegally. I walked into the office, and there was his time card. And although he gave me one name, when we walk him into the office, the boss says, you want to talk to Demetrius? I said, yes. And he says to the boss, you know my name isn't Demetrius. The guy looks at me and goes, I don't know what he's talking about. That's how crazy it was, because they knew that if they came on a tourist visa and they were working, they were going to get arrested. What a quaint thought. But if you're worried about how long the guy has been here, if you encountered an alien and you said, let me see your passport, and by the way, by law, they're supposed to carry it at all times, just the way we are when we go to other countries. And if the guy entered the United States 9 months ago and there was no evidence that they applied for an extension, I might have called the office and they were able to track that down usually, then we would arrest him. He overstayed. That's the tricky environment. See, what's tricky is I'm certain that the agents today are being told, don't go out there and talk to aliens unless you're looking for a specific alien, which is insane. It's insane. Don't talk to anybody else. I feel like when I was 5 years old and my parents said to me, don't talk to strangers. I'm willing to bet that this guy, Craig Healy, the assistant director for national security, tells the people under his command, don't talk to anybody unless we give you permission. That's what's tricky. I think the agents today, when they get up in the morning, they stand there and they give each other a new version of a Miranda warning. Be careful. Anything you do will be used against you. Lunatic. To talk about how tricky it is to figure out if someone's here illegally and you call yourself an immigration agent? Seriously? That's like a doctor saying it's tricky to find a pulse. It's tricky to see if the guy has a reflex in his knee. Tricky? Wow. I wonder what money this Nimrod is being paid. But it gets worse. Because when he was asked how many agents they had looking for those 5 million, you ready? He said well over 100. Well over 100 agents looking for 5 million people. Those illegal aliens have better chance of buying a winning lottery ticket than being encountered by an immigration agent. We have well over 100 agents looking for 5 million. How do you even say that with a straight face? He would have been better off saying, I have no idea. He would have been better off saying, can I leave the room? Can I go to the bathroom? This is what passes for national security. Assistant Director for National Security says, isn't that great? We have... This is Maxwell Smart, if you remember that scene, those of you old enough, when he's held hostage, and he says, the people are coming to get me. We've got troops on the way, and you know, and the guy keeps laughing at him, and he keeps lowering what it is that's on the way, and finally he says, would you believe two cops in a rowboat? We have two cops in a rowboat, basically, looking for 5 million illegal aliens, and I'm willing to bet that that number is even higher, and that does not include other illegal aliens, people who ran the border, people who stowed away on ships. We have nobody looking for anybody. In this game of hide and seek, they're hiding and we're not seeking, so they don't even have to bother hiding anymore. And in fact, most likely, if they encounter such an illegal alien, the way they will deal with them isn't to deport them, but to make them legal, so now we no longer have an illegal alien here. I mean, that is what the administration essentially did. You end the problem of illegal immigrants by arresting them and then giving them a green card and turning them loose and saying, see, they're no longer illegal. We have fewer illegal aliens in the country now. This is the kind of lunacy that this administration is foisting on us and has been since its inception almost 8 years ago. This is nuts. And Hillary Clinton, I want you to remember this and tell this to your friends, remind them, said that Obama has been much too tough on illegal aliens, much too tough on enforcement. What in the world are we doing? She wants to legalize everyone, and what most people don't understand is that if she did that, all those newly legalized aliens would then be immediately, the same day, able to petition the government to bring in their minor children, all of them. So if some guy didn't have a TV set at home, and he and his wife or common-law wife or girlfriend or whoever has nine children, well, by God, he's going to bring nine kids here. And they will all immediately go into our schools that are overcrowding and bursting at the seams and have a lack of money and lack of resources. The Congressional Budget Office says, hey, it costs 20 to 40% more to educate a child who can't speak English. So we are about to bring into the country, if Hillary gets her way, perhaps tens of millions of foreign alien students who will be legally entitled to everything. Everything. Who's going to pay for it? What will this do to the education of our own children? Why doesn't compassion apply to American kids? One in four American children now live below the poverty line. And if you go into America's minority communities, it is bleak. Part of the reason you're seeing the rioting on the streets and the anger on the streets is it's easy to manipulate people who are angry and bored. You have children out there who are in their teens who should be working. I got my first job when I was 14, and don't tell me they don't want to work. There's no opportunities to work. I worked in the back of a kosher delicatessen in Brooklyn. Other friends of mine work in other restaurants. You go into most restaurants today, who do you think is working in the kitchen? Illegal aliens. They're working off the books. They're working under illegally dangerous conditions. Do you think they want to put American kids to work where they have to pay them on the books, where they have to meet safety and labor standards? Uh-uh. Because if they mistreat a child, the child's parent or older brother or older sister is going to raise holy hell, and the next thing you know, that employer is going to be in trouble. So they hire illegal aliens. They're compliant. They're easy to intimidate. You can push them around. You can treat them like garbage. And you make out like a bandit. And you make out like a bandit, literally and figuratively. So the kid that needs that first job to put something on a resume so he or she can get a better job next summer never gets to build a resume. But they get to hang out on a street corner, and they have no money. No money. What do you think is going to happen after a while? These kids are going to get into trouble. And I'm not trying to sound like a social worker, but I am trying to sound the alarm as to what I observed as an agent. This is not the America that I grew up in. When I hear Obama saying this is not who we are, I'm thinking to myself, you're damn right that's not who we are. We're a country that used to look out for its own children. This country, this government, sees those kids as expendable. Sees them as a tool they can use to go out on the street and riot and demonstrate by putting pressure on them, feeding them a lot of nonsense. Look at that display we saw on the floor of the House of Representatives. And according to a report that I read, one of those idiot congressmen, forgive the redundancy, alleged that the AR-15 that was wielded by that jackass, a terrorist, Orlando, could shoot 600 bullets a minute. It was a semi-automatic weapon. It couldn't shoot bullets any faster than a 9mm handgun, semi-automatic. That's all it was. Assault rifle. These people don't even know what end the bullet comes out of. Assault rifle, 600 rounds a minute. Physical impossibility. But it sounds good. It sounds good. This is the kind of nonsense that we're witnessing. So these kids who are frustrated, who are bored, who have nowhere to go, no money, easy to manipulate. For a couple of bucks, they'll go out and demonstrate. For a couple of bucks, they'll hold signs. And sometimes things get out of hand and people get hurt. But if you're a politician who doesn't really care about America or Americans, this is what you do. Because if you're concerned about those children, you don't keep bringing in more kids and dump them into an education system that can't deal with the children who are here now. You don't bring in more workers than the number of new jobs you're creating every month. You don't allow criminals to come into the United States and peddle narcotics on street corners if you're concerned about crime. You don't allow transnational criminals to come across our borders and ply their trades at every town from coast to coast and border to border and rack up carnage. If you're concerned about our people, Mr. President, you don't turn 100,000 criminals loose in a three-year period so they go out and commit well over another 100 murders that we know of, and thousands of assaults and sexual assaults and rapes, again, that we know of. You know, during the 3 days I was down in D.C. with the Hold Their Feet to the Fire event, I was talking to some of the politicians. And by the way, I met some really great people, people I have nothing but respect and admiration for, because there are some good people. My all-time favorites were there. Senator Jeff Sessions, I love Jeff like a brother. The guy quoted me from the House of the United States Senate about 10 years ago during comprehensive immigration reform debates. I called comprehensive immigration reform the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act in an article I wrote for Washington Times. And unlike most politicians who plagiarize, being a true Southern gentleman, he quoted me with attribution on three separate days. And then, believe it or not, did something that blew me away. He sent me a certificate to commemorate it. And my wife, who had been skeptical about what I was doing, became bug-eyed when this thing came in the mail. She ran out, got it framed, and hung it in our bedroom. So when I get up in the morning, there's that letter, that certificate from Senator Sessions. He sounds to me, and I don't want to make trouble for him, but he sounds like a 50s Democrat kind of guy, looking out for the average working American and his family or her family. That's what a true leader does. Not full of pretext, not full of false ego, just an absolute gentleman, a sterling human being with a strong moral compass. So I got to chat with him a couple of times, which was wonderful. My good personal friend, Lou Barletta. Lou had been the mayor of Hazleton. He found a Dominican drug gang had set up shop in his town. And so this was a neighborhood that was quiet and peaceful. It was like one of those little towns that you would see in the old Rod Serling Twilight Zone episodes. Everything is peaceful and quaint and just really nice. I've been up there a number of times to Hazleton. And the peace was shattered by this Dominican drug gang when they started killing people, selling narcotics in the middle of the playgrounds where the children were playing. And he went to the Bush White House for help. The Bush administration gave him bupkis, nothing. It's both sides of the aisle. The repugnant cans and the Democrats. So he enacted his own immigration ordinance, first mayor to do this, out of concern and compassion for the people in the town. And he was promptly sued. I was Lou's final witness at the trial. He's now a member of Congress, so I got to hang out with Lou. I saw Steve King, another great guy. I saw Paul Gosar from Arizona, and I've had a number of discussions with Paul. In fact, Paul gave me his private cell phone number, as has Lou. And Steve King told me that every time he winds up at a hearing on immigration, he winds up quoting me. And I know he's quoted me. I've seen some of the hearings. And he didn't tell me that to impress me. He just said that the testimony I provided really stayed with him. And one of the things I said at a hearing, because he had asked me if I knew how many people were killed every year by illegal aliens, I said, I don't know that number, Congressman, but I can assure you that it would be a multiple of the number of people who were slaughtered on 9/11. So we had not one but two studies done by the GAO that verified that my hunch, unfortunately, and I do mean unfortunately, was right. There are times I don't like being right. That is one of them. So this is what we're up against. But as I was speaking to people, I wound up every time I said something about what we're doing and how crazy it is, I would say afterwards, rhetorically, am I nuts? Am I nuts? We're warned by John Brennan that terrorists want to come here as refugees, and the administration is increasing the number of refugees and cutting back on any kind of screening effort whatsoever. Am I nuts? I may actually write an article at some point that I'm going to call it, Am I Nuts? Because nothing that the Obama administration is doing makes any sense if you're really concerned about America or Americans. Nothing makes any sense. And he gets up there and says, this is not who we are. No, what we are is a country of law. What we are is a country that has always been concerned about its children. But now we're told that if you're concerned about American children, you're a hater and a xenophobe. And ironically, it's America's minority kids that are really taking it in the neck more than anybody. Not that America's white kids are doing that great either. We're all in deep trouble. Because our administration claims this is not who we are. No, who we are is not who you are, Mr. Obama. Because clearly you are working across purposes what is in the best interest of America or Americans. And if you liked Obama, boy, oh boy, you're going to like old Hillary. And I don't know if Donald Trump has gotten to it yet, but you should know, and you should tell this to your friends and neighbors, that if you go to the Hillary website, the Clinton website, they've partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because they're concerned about what goes on in the rest of the world. The hell with America. This was John Kerry saying, don't look inward, don't hide behind walls, be happy that China's middle class is growing, be happy that India's middle class is growing. Never mind that our middle class is going the way of the dodo bird by design. Never mind about that particular piece of information. Am I nuts? So anyway, you got this guy Healy, Assistant Director for National Security. Do you feel secure now? Saying that he had well over 100 investigators to go after them. You have the head of ICE giving back $113 million saying she had no reason for it. And then you find out that the visa waiver program, and it's a program that I've been critical of ever since, that over a third of the countries that participate in the visa waiver program aren't telling our government about terrorists or other threats, which they were supposed to do in a timely fashion to stay on with the program. And what are the consequences? None. None. So again, you have to ask yourself, am I nuts? Now, there's another story I have to get to today. And this is going to be another one of those stories. And I don't even know what to possibly say to you. Because when I saw it, I almost fell over. Totally incredible. I don't know if you folks remember, but a couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article where I suggested that perhaps the manager at USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, a division of DHS, you of course know that DHS stands for the Department of Homeland Surrender, a manager at DHS turned away a number of ICE agents. It turns out that they were five agents. They work for a subdivision of ICE called Homeland Security Investigations. They were working with the Joint Terrorism Task Force in San Bernardino. That's where the attack was in December, right? The day after the attack, they go into the office at Citizenship and Immigration Services where they adjudicate applications because this guy Marquez, the alleged supporter of the two terrorist shooters, was going to be there in conjunction with a petition that he filed for his alien wife who was here from the Middle East to give her a green card. As it turns out, by the way, it was a marriage fraud. But they showed up, these agents, because they were hoping that if he showed up, they wanted to hold on to him so they could interrogate him about his material support, providing weapons and God knows what else, because apparently he had already committed felonies. There perhaps had been information that he was involved in a marriage fraud, which by itself is a felony, even if there was no hook involving terrorism. But there's something else for you to think about. If this guy was in fact involved with radical Islam, a convert perhaps, then maybe he knew about forthcoming attacks. Maybe he provided guns to still more people. Maybe 5 hours after those agents showed up, there was going to be another attack in some other location. So when you're dealing with people who are involved with terrorists, you're looking at what they've done and what they might do or what people they've interacted with might be doing to head off an attack before it occurs. So it turns out that the woman, it was a woman who ran the office, her name, Irene Martin. Remember that name, Irene Martin. would not let them into the office, stalled them, wouldn't help them, wouldn't cooperate. Now, I was an adjudicator for a year, and we worked hand in glove with the agents. When I was an agent, I worked hand in glove with the adjudicators. So this isn't conjecture for me. This is what I did for a living, folks. We're on the same team. It's like a police officer going into motor vehicles and saying, you have a guy who's showing up for a license today, and I have a warrant for his arrest. You let me know when he's here so I can go grab him. And that happens every day of the week, doesn't it? No different. Immigration, and it's Obama. It's Obama and it's immigration, the two sacred cows. So they are turned away. They ask to see the application that had been filed, hoping they could get an address where they could get this guy. I'm sure they were concerned that there might be another attack tomorrow, the day after, a week later, 3 weeks later. That's how you gather intelligence. You know, we need intelligence. You don't get intelligence by sniffing your nose in the air and saying, I think I just smelled some intelligence. You sit down the players that you know are associated with terrorist groups or terrorist individuals, and you question them, and you check their records, and you look at their phone calls, and you look at all that data. I mean, I did this for a living. That's known as gathering intelligence. They weren't allowed in. Ultimately, they were given a photograph. Whoopee, now I'm impressed. And sent on their merry way, or not so merry way. When Martin's boss was questioned about it at a Senate hearing, he said there was a miscommunication. What in the world is a miscommunication? They walked in, they showed their credentials and said, we're special agents with ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, who are interested in Marquez. I am sure that's how the conversation went. And at that point, you're not even supposed to say, what do you mean? What's the? No, we need to talk to him. He's the target of an investigation. That's enough. That's all you need to do. You get out of the way and say, how can I help you? That was my experience, but Obama wasn't the president then. They left empty-handed. The guy didn't show up, as it turns out, but that's not the point. And when they questioned Martin's boss, he had no idea. Well, you know, it was a communication mistake. We're going to fix this. We're going to address the issues with her. And I was reading this, getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And so I wrote my article suggesting that whoever had said no, and I didn't know it was her when I wrote the article, but I said maybe whoever was doing this was looking for the most valuable player award from ISIS, because that woman obstructed an ongoing active terrorist investigation. What else could you refer to it as doing? She stood in the way of an investigation that was aimed at questioning, perhaps taking into custody somebody who was believed to have provided those weapons that were used in that mass murder. This is pretty straightforward police work, folks. This isn't rocket science. You don't need a PhD in quantum physics here. Well, the administration dealt with Irene Martin. Fox News reported, I believe it was yesterday, June 20th. Well, actually, this was published today, June 20th. No, yesterday. That's right. So revved up. June 23rd. You're not going to believe this one. Let me read this to you. This is from Fox News. This was yesterday. Put your seatbelt on. A U.S. immigration official blamed in a federal report for barring law enforcement agents from a suspect in the San Bernardino terror attack has been dealt with now. They didn't say dealt with, but I'm going to tell you how they dealt with her. You would imagine they fired her, right? How many people? Raise your hand. Fired her. How many people think suspended her? Okay, good. Let me see. How many hands are that? No. Remember I said ISIS was going to give her an award? I was wrong. The Obama administration is actually nominating her for the highest goddamn award the U.S. government gives a federal employee, the Medal of Valor. I want you to let it sink in. A woman who could have killed a lot of people by blocking agents concerned about a possible forthcoming terrorist attack has been given the Medal of Valor. Why? Because she turned away the agents, I guess. Now, when Fox News filed a Freedom of Information request and said, why did you give her this award? You're going to love the answer. Freedom of information, we're supposed to know, right? The answer was a two-word answer. No comments. Can someone explain this to me? Once again, I'm compelled to ask the question, am I nuts? Am I nuts? The Inspector General wrote a report that was reported on in another article. Let me read this to you. This from the Federal Times. An Inspector General's report has found that the day after the San Bernardino, An Inspector General's report has found that the day after the San Bernardino shootings, Homeland Security investigation agents were prevented from entering an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office to possibly detain a suspect related to the terror attack. Investigators reported that an HSI team, Homeland Security Investigations team, dispatched to apprehend Enrique Marquez, who had allegedly purchased weapons used by the San Bernardino shooters, Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, were detained at the ICE office for 30 minutes by immigration officials while the USCIS and Immigration Services Field Director conferred with her superiors. The report determined that the Field Officer Director improperly delayed the HSI agents from attempting to arrest Marquez and that contract security personnel at the ICE office also improperly prevented the ICE team from entering the building. Investigators also noted that the Field Office Director, not identified in the report, but listed as Irene Martin on the ICE website, was not entirely candid with the OIG. Not entirely candid, she goddamn lied. She lied, not candid. Less than a day after the attack that killed 14 people and injured 22, the Joint Terrorism Task Force informed HSI, the investigative arm of the Department of Homeland Security, that the wife of Enrique Marquez, Russian national Maria Chernik, had an appointment at an ICE facility to change her immigration status. They blocked the agents from questioning and possibly arresting a terrorist suspect. She obstructed justice. She lied to the officials. And she gets the Medal of Valor. Generally, the Medal of Valor is given to employees who put their lives on the line to protect innocent people. Am I nuts? What in the world does it take? What else has to happen? What is going to be the next step? Will they disarm the agents and tell them to go after people with guns and see how many agents we can get killed, perhaps? You see, there's no end to the lunacy emanating out of Washington. American lives are being lost every day, multiple times, every day, multiple times, innocent people. Many of them, by the way, are within the immigrant communities of the same ethnicity as the criminals who operate in those neighborhoods. And it's just not just Latinos. It could be from Russia. It could be from Asia. It could be from Japan. It could be from the Caribbean, from Europe. It doesn't matter. Those immigration laws are blind about race, religion, or ethnicity. And Obama has the unmitigated chutzpah to stand there in front of the camera and says, this is not who we are. I am so thunderstruck by all of this that I don't even know where to begin. I do not know where to begin. And Hillary Clinton insists that Obama is far too tough on enforcing our immigration laws. Let me tell you something. I would vote for a one-legged frog over Hillary at this point. Anybody who thinks that what Obama is doing is too tough on enforcement, even if she was as clean as the fresh-driven snow, and I assure you she's not. Even if she had a halo floating over her head and wings fluttering on her back, and she does not. On her immigration position alone, I could never, ever, under any circumstances, pull the lever or mark the X or do whatever it is where you vote for that individual. And I listen to some of our neighbors and some of the arguments that I hear about why they want to vote for her, I have to tell you, leaves me with my head spinning like the rotor blades on a helicopter. You've heard the arguments. Wouldn't it be nice, I'm told breathlessly by some folks, to have a woman president? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be historic? So here's my answer to that. God forbid someone close to you and your family becomes ill, is injured, needs surgery. You race into the emergency room, and what are you going to say to the person at that front desk? Give me a woman doctor, or give me the best doctor you have. Where in the world does the gender of the person figure? Yes, if I was a magazine publisher, I have to admit there's a term we used to use. I don't even know if people relate to it anymore, but when I was a kid, I was a male chauvinist pig. I guess I'm a red-blooded man. I'd rather look at the picture of a good-looking woman than a handsome guy. That's just me. What do I know? Shame on Mike Cutler. So if I was a magazine publisher, I would probably be eager to publish the picture of a pretty woman's face on the cover of my magazine. But that's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is our next leader. In a turbulent world where it is unraveling faster than we can put it together, this world looks more like Humpty Dumpty than anything I can think of. And we have a woman who is taking millions of dollars from foreign governments, who thinks Obama is enforcing the law far too stringently where immigration is concerned, who has four people killed on her watch in Benghazi and has five different versions of the story and insisted on what difference does it make. I mean, I could go on. I'm not going to keep rehashing. We know. We all know by now ad nauseum. But so the argument is it would be nice to have a woman. The other argument is she has experience. So let's go back again to looking for a doctor in the middle of a crisis, and you find out they have a surgeon who's been working there for 36 years, and you say, wow, this guy's experienced. And then you find out that over a third of this guy's patients died on the operating table. Would you let him near you with a scalpel? Better yet, or her, would you let her near you with a thermometer? Well, she's got experience. We have to do better as Americans. We have to unite as Americans. This isn't about left or right. This is about right or wrong, and the stakes could not be higher. Let's look across the pond and see what our cousins in Great Britain did. They are voting, or they have voted, against globalism. That's what the ballot was for. They voted against globalism. They voted for sovereignty. They voted for sovereignty. And it's a rational response to the turbulent world in which we are currently living. Sovereignty. One size does not fit all. We should be demanding our own sovereignty. That's the issue. We need a government that puts Americans ahead of anyone from anywhere else. And if you want to call it nativism, then so be it. The other side says, that's nativism. And I smile at them and I go, yeah, how about that? See, that's the answer. Don't get defensive. Own it. Yes, I put Americans first. American blacks, American whites, American Latinos, Americans with stripe, Americans with polka dots. I don't care. We are Americans. We are brothers. We are sisters. We need to be together on this. And that's what this program is about, to provide you with the information that you need so that we can make the appropriate demands of those elected representatives who are, in fact, paid to represent us. It's no shock here, folks. They're not. So when people say you're being a nativist, smile and say, I certainly am. We take care of our own first. Parents feed their children before they give money to charity. When there's a burning building, people tend to run into that building to save their own children before they save their neighbor's children. You got to make tough choices. Life is about choices. But it's about time we the people put we the people first. What a novel idea that is. I want to thank you for joining me again this evening. I look forward again to being with you again next week at the same time. Right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. But meanwhile, please go to my website, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org. I've got a new article coming out in the next couple of days at Caps Web, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract. And please, folks, let's remember that democracy is not a spectator sport. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.